Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this beautiful, cold, crispy morning?
I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful morning.
It's about 29, 30 degrees outside, but it's still so very pretty. It's another one of those manna from heaven days, I like to call it. Got a little bit of the morning crispy dew outside and really, really, really pretty. Kind of got a cloudiness about it, but it's still a beautiful day. Because why is it a beautiful day? Because the Lord made it. Hallelujah. And woke us up
Amen.
This morning. That makes it more Amen. Beautiful than any you could ever imagine. Because there's somebody that didn't wake up today. But we did. Praise the Lord. So we got a lot of good word this morning, some highlightables, and whoo, yeah, it's good. That's all I'm going to say, y'all. It's good. And our revelation, God don't play. You know, God does not play. And there's some things in Revelation this morning that, you know, we need to keep an eye out on, as well as in Amos. You know, there's, you know, quite a few highlightables. My Bible's inked up and highlighted in some things on Amos. And I just wanted to say God is good, you know, but God gives us chance after chance after chance. And we should thank him every day for his blessings. I thank God for your prayers. I'm feeling better today. I go back to work today, actually. But thank God I'm only working a little half a day today, which gives me time to still come home and rest, which is what I still have to do. So
Amen.
I'm thankful on that. And as I read Amos, we are going to do an overview as Mother Valerie, and then Mother Valerie will pray us in, and she will come back to you in Amos chapters 1 through 3. I'll be back with our psalm this morning, which is the 141st psalm, verses 1 through 4, as well as Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, and Revelation chapter 3. And we will get through Revelations, I promise. We on the 31st of this month, we will be finishing Revelations and finishing the Bible, where we will have read it in 1 year, and that is if it is God's will. So let's get into what's going on with this little prophet who's a shepherd named Amos. And it says Amos, a shepherd from Tekoa near Bethlehem, approximately 760 B.C. And his 10 words or less to describe his book is real religion isn't just ritual. You catch me? Real religion isn't just ritual, but treating people with justice. Can I say, Mother, is it a right now word? Real religion isn't just ritual, but treating people with justice. We see a whole lot of injustice coming out of the church body in the guise of loving God and loving his people. You know, I was listening to the issue of abortion. And again, you know, my personal belief is that it is wrong and it is a sin. But I also understand that sometimes it is necessary, as in the case of this mother in Texas who is going to die, her and her baby, or her baby is definitely not viable and could possibly cause her to have issues where she will not be able to conceive again, and she really wants to extend her family. So this is not some willy-nilly, I got caught abortion. This is a heartbreaking, terrible, terrible situation. But people who don't have a clue and want to be God, you know, have decided through the court system that she cannot have this procedure to save her life, basically, to save her life, because the child is not viable. The child is actually probably may even be already deceased inside her womb, which can cause complications, so she cannot have other children that she desperately wants. And so this heart-wrenching situation is going on, and there are those who have said, oh, no, she should just go ahead and have a baby, and we understand it might be dead, and, you know, we hope it doesn't kill her kind of thing. And I thought, but aren't we supposed to love each other? Aren't we supposed to care about each other? And you could see the pain on she and her husband's face through all this drama. When you have to go to court for a medical procedure, but yet you have folks screaming and hollering and slobbering at the mouth about their guns, but yet a woman's health and her body is not as important as the guns that are killing our children. And then another young lady in Ohio is actually facing 2 years of prison because she had a stillborn birth at home. Young woman, I'm sure terrified. And then her baby born deceased. And she wanted her child. It wasn't her trying to have an abortion. The baby just came and was born stillborn. And it happened to have happened at home. And she's facing 2 years of prison. This is some crazy stuff, like some Gilead movie from The Maiden's Tale or some kind of nonsense. We as Christians have got to pray. Because when did man become God? And that is one of the things that Amos has talked about. Real religion isn't ritual, but treating people with justice. And then it goes on to tell us an average God, a lowly shepherd, actually, takes on the rich and powerful of Israelite society, condemning their idol worship, persecution of God's prophets, and cheating of the poor. Does that sound familiar? Though God once rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, he is ready to send them into new bondage because of their sin. Amos sees visions and pictures Israel's plight, a plumb line, indicating the people are not measuring up to God's standards, and a basket of ripe fruit showing the nation is ripe for God's judgment. And if we don't change, we're going to be ready for God's judgment too. And it's the quotables from Amos. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Amos 5 and 14. Seek good and not evil, and ye may live. Amos 5 and 24, ASV. Let justice roll down as water and righteousness as a mighty stream. Unique and unusual about Amos, a native of the southern Jewish kingdom of Judah, Amos was directed to God to prophesy in the northern Jewish nation of Israel. So how are you treating the people around you? In God's eyes, that's an indicator of your true spiritual condition. For a New Testament perspective, James 2 and 14, and we're going to go there real quick, Mother, and then I will be turning it over to you. We just read it, I think, last week, or week before last, because James is one of those books in the New Testament that does not play. James will break it down, tear it down, and tell you all about yourself, because that's just how he rolled. You know, he was the brother of Christ, and he could do that. But when we go to James chapter 2, and we go to verses 14 through 18, James says, and this is faith without deeds. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing but his about his physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And that's something you can take to the bank. Amen. Mother, thank you so much. I'm turning it over to you. Take us into the throne. Hallelujah, as we go into our word this morning. Take us to the throne, Mother. As you give it over to God again, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be with you this morning. The devil thought he was so busy. I was coughing earlier really bad. But I said, no, not today, God. You have told me I'm going back to work and that I'm going to be all right, and I'm believing that. Hallelujah. Give God the glory this morning. And whew, I'm just grateful to be a child of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, family. Love you all. I'll be back.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Mother. It's so good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Yours, too. Father God, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for the word. And thank you, thank you, thank you for healing Pastor Bridges so she can go forth. I'm coming out of Psalms 14 and Proverbs and Revelation. And I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridges so she can do amen. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?
I'm back. That is fine. All right, then. We are going to go into Amos. I had not planned, but, hey, it's all right. We are going into Amos chapter 1 in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I ask for strength as I was in the process of making my tea because I thought Mother Valerie was going forth, but that's all right. God, you know, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. We are good. God is good, and I'm always prepared. He said to be ready in and out of season. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to go into the word of God. And it says, the word of Amos, who was among the sheep leaders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake, and he said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have thrashed Gilead with implements of iron. And I will send a fire into the house of Isaiah, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bars of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Aven. And the one who holds the scepter from Beth-Edom, the people of Syria, shall go captive to curse, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, but three transgressions of Gaza. Y'all see that, right? For three transgressions of Gaza and the N or four. Can I read that one more time? For three transgressions of Gaza and four, I would not turn away because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. And I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord. And when I read that, I thought, is that what they're trying to do? To fulfill some prophecy that was fulfilled over 1,000 years ago. thousands of years ago. It was before Christ. His prophecy was fulfilled. But it just makes you wonder where folks do things and why people do things. But let's continue in the word. And it says, thus says the Lord, for these transgressions of terror and for four, I will turn away its punishment because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. But I will send a fire upon the wall of terror, which shall devour its palaces. Thus says the Lord. For three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Timon, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus says the Lord. The three transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away his punishment. They ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and shall devour its palaces, and shouting in the day of battle, and a tempest in the day of whirlwind. The king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord. And I'm going to go back over to chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, a life example. That God called Amos from his flock, grove, to prophesy to the northern kingdom, and Amos obeyed without a hesitation, without argument. This quiet man simply complied. He packed and traveled to a strange region so that he could prophesy God's word to unfamiliar tribes. He didn't object to or complain, and simply went. Amos knew he was fighting uphill battle. During the economic golden era, a haze of relaxed contentment had settled over the nation. The people did not welcome Amos' words of warning, yet he unceasingly fulfilled his divine task. How many of us today have the mighty spirit of Amos? How many boldly face a hostile world and faithfully proclaim the truth of the Lord? How many obey regardless of the persecution? How many absorb blow after blow from the enemy only to turn and take the next obedient step in their walk of faith? Wow. Chapter 2 of Amos. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lone. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kirath. Moab shall die with torment, with shouting and trumpet sound, and I will cut off the judge from its midst and slay all its princes with him, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. For three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies led them astray, lies which their fathers followed, and I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. And it happened. Thus says the Lord. For three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Lately, they pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl. To defile my holy name, that's just nasty. They lie down altar on clothes, taken in pledge, and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. And that's palace whoredom is what was going on. Harlotry within the church. I think they called them temple prostitutes. You know,
my Lord.
Just disgusting things going on in the house of God. And it said, yet it was I who destroyed the Amorites before them, whose height was like the height of the cedar, and he was as strong as the oak. Yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Also, it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorites. I raised up some of your sons as prophets and some of your young men as Nazarites. It is not so, O you children of Israel. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets and do not prophesy. Behold, I am weighed down by you as a cart full of shoes is weighed down. Therefore, flight shall perish from the swift. The strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself. He shall not stand who handles the bow. The swift of foot shall not escape, nor shall he who rides a horse deliver himself. The most courageous men of might shall flee naked in that night, says the Lord. And, you know, and I'm so sorry, family. The title for our lesson this morning is, he who has ears, has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this Spirit is speaking to nations. The Spirit is speaking to us. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And the Spirit is speaking to Amos. And Amos is speaking to the children of Israel, giving them an understanding. This is what the Lord said. And we have to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning through Amos, through Psalm, through Proverbs, through Revelation. God is speaking through his holy word. The question is, are we listening? And then as we go into Amos chapter 3, I'll come back and do the life lesson from 2 and 3 after I read 3 this morning. And in chapter 3 of Amos, it says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquity. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servant, the prophet. That's a highlightable. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servant, the prophet. And there are true prophets out there speaking today. You just got to find them. You got to find them. And it said, a lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Proclaim in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt and say, assemble on the mountains of Samaria. See great tumult in her midst and the oppressed within her. But they do not know to do right, says the Lord, who store violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces shall be plundered. And it happened. It happened when Babylon's over. It happened when the Romans came. It happened. Thus says the Lord, as a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out who dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and on the edge of a couch. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day I punish Israel for their transgressions, I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says the Lord. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Are you listening this morning? And if we go back to Amos chapter 2, verse 10, it says, it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness. And I was looking at a documentary, I believe Saturday or Sunday, and it talked about this road that takes you from Egypt to Israel. And it's a 40-day journey normally that takes maybe 60 days with stopping and starting and walking. You know, I had always heard it was 11 days, but I watched this map and it said it was actually a 40-day journey. 40 days, 40 years. You know, when you put it in the perspective of how God does some things. But they were rebellious. They did not listen. And that 40-day journey wound up being a 40-year journey because they did not want to follow God's word. Just stubborn. And they had it. They were ready to walk in the door. 12 spies went in. 10 spies came out and said, we can't do it. Got everybody all worked up and afraid. And the two that came back to say, when the Lord is on our side, we can do all things. But what happened to the 10 who caused all the confusion that caused them to have to wander the earth for 40 years? Them folks talking about, well, we just don't go back to Egypt. How are you going back to Egypt when Pharaoh's army done drowned in the Red Sea? How are you going back to Egypt when half the crops is all gone? No, most of the crops is gone. Firstborn is dead. Them Egyptians would have killed them on sight. You know, and they talking about, we going back to Egypt. And we said we had this, that, and the other. God was like, okay, I'm tired. And that's when he did what he did, 40 years in the wilderness. Said it is, and Dr. Stanley says it very well, that it is good to regularly remind ourselves how the Lord has helped and delivered us in the past. Otherwise, we tend to either forget his goodness to us or we begin to imagine that we have blessed ourselves. If we do not immerse ourselves in the truth of God's word, not my word, not Mother Valerie's word, but God's word, the lies that flourish all around us can easily take hold of our minds and lead us astray to our own destruction. We got to study this word to show ourselves the proof. We got to meditate on it. We got to listen and find others, study even harder. To dig, as they say, dig deep into the word. We have to do that, you know, because God's word is what's going to take us higher, to higher heights and deeper depths. We got to read and study. And it goes on to tell us in Amos 3 and 2, you only have known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquity. God don't play. A relationship with God is not only a phenomenal privilege. It is also a great responsibility. The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And when we go over to 1 Peter, again, just read it. You know, 1 Peter is another one. Didn't play. You know, I'm telling you, these guys came strong and they came long. They was not playing with folks. They said, I'm giving you the long game. I'm telling you what's going to come if you keep doing what you're doing and acting how you act. And when we go to Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 17, but I'm going to go back up because I got a highlightable in there. So we're going to go up to verse number 12, suffering for being a Christian. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. Come on now. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Chapter, verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The ancient Israelis had allowed their pursuit of material abundance, and that's, ooh, that doesn't sound familiar, to eclipse their commitment to God. And he will never allow for long anything or anyone to take the place that belongs to him alone. We better take it to the throne, because God is speaking. Are you listening? Do you have ears to hear? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. What a word this morning.
Amen. Wow. Amen. I'm reading Psalms 141, 1 and 4. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayers be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The title is, He That Has an Ear, Let Him Hear What the Spirit Says to the Church. Revelation 3:1-22. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The title, He Who Has an Ear, Let Him Hear What the Spirit Says to the Churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, that are not but lies. Indeed, I'll make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my commandments to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and New Jerusalem, which comes out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And that is the title, Life Lesson, Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. No one likes to be rebuked or chastened, but the presence of these things, when necessary, indicates not a lack of love, but its fullness. Jesus rebuked us because it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, Hebrews 12:11. Life lesson, Revelation 3:8. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. We do not have to be mighty conquerors or giant killers to take advantage of the open doors of opportunity that God sets before us. A little strength is plenty when we obey his word and honor his son. Revelation 3:15. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Jesus tells the smug and self-satisfied members of the Laodicean church that they are essentially useless to him. They have chosen comfort over spiritual combat, and their compassies. It nauseates Jesus. You can't be lukewarm. He said you can't be cold, you're lukewarm. God don't want you to be like that. Either you serve Jesus or you're serving the devil. You have a choice to make, and you can choose. Choose this day whom you're going to serve, either the Lord Jesus or Satan. You're making the decision. God gives you a choice, and you have to make the decision. Okay, I'm going to turn this back to the pastor, and she's going to read words.
You know, as I was listening in, and it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And Dr. Stanley said, you know, nobody likes to be rebuked or chastened, but the presence of these things, when necessary, indicates not a lack of love, but its fullness. Jesus rebukes us because it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And, you know, it said Hebrews 12:11, and I went over it. to Hebrews chapter 12. And when you start at verse 7, to put it all into perspective, it says this: endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. But what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline, just in verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness for those who are being trained by it. Verse 12, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Verse 13, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And I was reading that, and I thought, you know, my own, you know, testimony, many have heard it, who have listened to this show. My one discipline from my father, you know, now I would get punished, but as far as a spanking, my dad only spanked me once. And it was memorable because I was disobedient. My father said, I need you to be home before dark. Come home after the wedding. I went to my best buddy's sister's wedding. And instead of coming directly home, I went riding around in the limousine cars and the, you know, cars with the tops down, and, you know, waved, even drove down my street, you know, waved at my dad. And he sat on the porch, and he saw me and waved back. Now, understand, the wedding is over, and I'm riding around in the cars doing the wave. Now, understand, it's going by my house. All I had to say was, can y'all let me out? And they would have let me out right there at home. I wouldn't have had to walk home, wouldn't have had to worry about it. I'd be at home. But, no, I'm waving and riding around. Go back to the church, have the cake and the punch, and, you know, and then it's starting to get a little dusty, and I said, oh, I guess I better walk on home. Now, understand, I got to go from, it's about 5 blocks, you know, in and out of streets, because there was a street between the church and my house that I was not allowed to go down, because it was where the pool hall and the juke joint and the Masonic hall and the liquor store and all of that stuff was in that one little small square on the corner of 7th and Adams. And so I couldn't go down 7th Street. So I was on 9th Street. So I came down, to 8th Street and came up 8th Street. And then there's a house which was our pastor's house. And you could cut through there, and then there was a big, huge parking lot by the funeral home, and then there was my house. So once I got through the pastor's between them and some of my parents' friends' house, they could see me from the porch. So still, street lights was just barely trying to come on as I come through the parking lot. By the time I got home, he was sitting on the porch waiting for me. Disobedient. Come home right after the wedding, because then it was light. Stuff hadn't started kicking off at the corner. You know, folks was still getting ready and doing stuff. But when the street lights started to come on, folks start coming out. That grown folks start coming out, let's put it that way. And so my little self come walking across, you know, just chilling. You know, I done rode around, waved at folks, had a great time, and I got my behind tore up. My dad spanked me that afternoon, and my mother did not say a word. My mom, she just looked. You know, Miss Lillian didn't play either, because that's who I would have thought I would got a spanking from, because my dad didn't spank me, but that day he did. And it gave me an understanding that he was my father and that he didn't play, you know, because he was kind and he helped me with my math homework and, you know, whatever I asked, you know, he tried his best to provide it. You know, he was my best buddy. You know, he was my friend. He was my daddy. He was the only daddy I knew beside God. And I thank my mother every day for giving me parents. And, you know, and I tell you, if you cannot handle having children and you need help, God will provide the help you need. I tell you that. God provided my parents for my mother, and I'm grateful that I had two mothers and a father, and I'm grateful for that every day. And, you know, I don't want to get out there that, but I got that spanking. But I tell you one thing, from that day forward, I know that when Mr. Henry Anderson said, I need you to be home at, I was home before because I knew he didn't play. And I knew that my parents did not play. They were serious. And that everything they did and they said was for my protection. And understand everything that God does and God says is for our protection. He has given us in his word already what is and what is to come. What was, what is, and what is to come. And he even told us in his word that there are those that are fake Jews. He told us that. He already said it. You know, there's things that are in the word that when we read it, we got to take a minute and savor and say, what? Did he just say that? Let me go back and read that. And what did he say? Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Okay. God is telling us stuff. You got to listen. You got to read his word and read it again and highlight and say, okay, God, what does that mean? And God said, you know what it means, that the enemy will sin faith. And, you know, I was talking with my pastor. There are counterfeits. You know, for those young women out there that are waiting for God to send a husband, the devil's going to send a counterfeit. You better believe that. Be ready. You know, a counterfeit's coming. And you have to ask God for discernment between the counterfeit and the real thing. Because the real thing you will know. The counterfeit will come, but the counterfeit will slink away because it wasn't real. And they had the wrong intention. But the one that is for you will stand firm, stand strong, and be right there. Watch God work. And that is our word today, that we got to listen. Listen, listen, listen. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to be spewed out like vomit from the Lord. We want to be in the well done category. We want to be that faithful church because we are the church. And when we come to the understanding and realization that we are the church, we can walk better, talk better, act better. And we don't want to be lukewarm for God. We got to be out there, not afraid to speak truth to power, not afraid to tell the devil, not today. You're not taking my peace and you're not taking my joy. You're not going to do it, and I'm not going to let you. I'm trusting the Lord today that I am healed. I'm trusting the Lord today that I'm all right. I'm trusting the Lord today that all is well. We got to trust God in all things. Keep on believing and trusting and listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you. As the word tells us, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Don't be afraid to be chastened. And don't be afraid to be rebuked. Because if you're doing wrong, God's going to rebuke you. just like my daddy did, and pulled my behind up for doing wrong and told that, what did I say? And that's what we got to have God tell us. What did I say? Why do you think that I did what I did? We got to trust God. Believe and trust in the Lord in all things and watch him work in your life. I have not gotten a word from Sister Carolyn this morning, but I do have a prayer for today.
Amen.
From our 365. And our 365 prayer for what I still cannot believe. This month is flying by. We are only a couple of weeks from Christmas. It's like,
amen.
Wow, the 12 days are coming. On this 13th day, it says, plans, please. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Proverbs 21 and 5. Lord, overall, you are purposeful in everything you do. I want to be like you, intentionally living my life every day for you. Give me vision that I may see with eyes of love into every situation I walk into. May your faithfulness rub off on me so I would diligently finish every important task that I start. Let my heart link to yours. Know that quicker does not mean better. I will patiently do what is mine to do. I will let go of everything else. Above all, may my character reflect your kindness, goodness, and mercy. I got to read that again. Above all, may my character reflect your kindness, goodness, and mercy. May I be full of your light that brings simple solutions to complex problems. Help me to not get distracted by empty promises of things that seem too good to be true. Let me remember that your ways are better than the ways of this world. Your wisdom is my guide. Lead me on in your faithful love. And the question for this morning, have you gotten counsel about the plans you're working towards? Have you gone to God? Have you taken it to the throne and asked God, Lord, guide me, plan my steps, Lord? You know, we want to be guided by God and let him lead us and guide us every day. Whew! We got to study the word, love the word, and above all, love God who created us and the Word. Hallelujah, the Word in us, I should say. Trust Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the light. Let your light shine today, family. I will have a word tomorrow, today, and tomorrow's word, hopefully, from Sister Carolyn in the morning. But we all know that we do go through, and we may not always be able to get things out. And I know that she will have a word, but she always waits on the Lord. And so that is what we must do this morning, is wait on the Lord. When God gives her a word, she sends it out. And until then, she does not. And I appreciate that. Because sometimes she and I both are up at 3 and 4 in the morning because God has given us something. And I'll see her word come through at that time. And we both got good, peaceful rest last night, I'm sure, because I didn't wake up until 6 o'clock, and it was me waking up, not my alarm clock. So I know that God gave me rest on yesterday, and I'm thankful for it. And as you can see, I sound a whole lot better today. But I just say to all of you today, keep God first in everything you do, and watch God work in your life. And remember, he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Which church are you? Have a great day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. one from each other in Jesus' precious and holy name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Let God lead you. Let God guide you. Let God just wrap his loving, warm arms around you. So if you have to go out in the cold, you're nice and toasty because God's got you covered. Have a great day, family. It is. What is it, Mother Valerie?
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap because I got to go to work today. I'm back to normal. Praise the Lord. Have a great day, family. It's officially 100%.
Oh,
Mother, okay. What is it? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.